show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn, a Baseball Prospectus affiliate. Folks, we've got some Royals baseball to talk to you about, and we'll put a pin in that for a second, and we'll come right back to it. But first, some introductions. I am, of course, Jeff Herr, and with me, as always, the exorcist of the Homer demon himself, Michael Engel. Mike, how are you doing on this? I'm not sure what it's like in Lawrence, but it's very rainy and unpleasant here in Kansas City.
It looks like it wants to rain, but it has not really done it yet. It's actually kind of muggy, almost, in a way. So, I don't know. It's going to do something, but hasn't done anything yet. So, it's all right, I suppose.
Since you're the one who's handling the recording of the show, I want you to be aware they did say that the winds would be high in Kansas City tonight. So, We all know that the baseball vault and wind doesn't mix, so if I happen to cut out for any reason...
We've already had an incident.
Yes.
This is take two in radio and podcast parlance.
Yes.
It's indeed. A fun fact for all you listeners out there.
There you go, a little behind
Sometimes
the
there are multiple takes. Not really on this show. It's pretty rare we do multiple takes.
Most of the time we just let it rip.
Yeah,
but
I just cut it out or get lazy and leave it.
Yeah. Like, if we catch it early enough like we did tonight, sometimes we can have a take two. Right. So that's what you're listening to. You'll never know what take one was. You'll never know.
Our last last take two was in 2013 probably.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So.
So we've got some things to talk about. When we last spoke, the Royals were doing okay. They were in the second wild card spot. And they were in the midst of a little skid, and I'd like to say it got better, and it slightly did, but not a whole lot better. They were at the beginning of what turned into a 5-game losing streak when we last spoke, which was actually 7 out of 8 and 9 out of 11. Yeah. Losses. They followed that up with 3 wins, 2 against the White Sox and 1 against Oakland, and then they lost last night in just a heartbreaker, I guess you could say, more of a punch in the ball or a kick in the balls, but you know, to each their own. But they followed up with a win today as they won in the the ninth inning, just barely.
Right.
Despite their best efforts, they still won.
They really gave it a shot. They were really trying, but no.
They were able to keep it up. And they have an off day tomorrow. It's, by the way, for posterity's sake, we're recording on Wednesday, August 16th. So Thursday, the 17th, they are off. But then Friday, it's the big series, possibly the biggest series of the season.
For at least a week.
we hope it's not the biggest series of the season, because if they win the series or do a sweep of some sort, there's only one type. But if they do a sweep, complete a sweep, then that moniker gets to be pushed back to another series later of biggest series in the season. So let's hope that it doesn't stay that way, but for now, it's the biggest series in the season, and it's, of course, against the first-place Cleveland Indians, who currently have, at the beginning of the day, it was a 6-game lead, but now, after the Royals' victory earlier this evening on the West Coast, it's now a 5.5-game lead. So they are it's one of those things where, like, it's technically in reach, but it feels kind of like they're playing for the wild card in the division because Cleveland has started to play a little bit better and to start start to pull away from the pack here. However, you know, the one thing that, and we talked about it the last few weeks, we've kind of alluded to, or the last few shows, I should say, we kind of took a little break in there, but the last few shows we've kind of alluded to it. The Royals have 10 games left with Cleveland, and it starts this weekend, and they have six out of their next 9 games are against Cleveland. So if the Royals were to go, say, 5-1 against specifically against Cleveland in that stretch, that's a four-game that would gain 4 games of ground on them, obviously. So that 6-game lead becomes a 2-game lead, and then, you know, whatever Cleveland does in between and then after, you know, then things start to look a little bit more interesting. But if the Royals go 2-4 against them, and now they're back, they're down 8 games instead of 6.
Yeah.
You know, then you're looking just for the wild card, and you might not even be looking for that if they go 2-4 against Cleveland. So they've got to take care of business against Cleveland. They simply have to. A sweep this weekend from Cleveland, and you're essentially, it's all over, more or less, you know, because you're, right now, they're sitting a half game out of the wild, I guess they'd technically be tied.
Angels won today, too.
Angels won today, too. Okay, so they're still a half game back of the Angels for the wild card, for that second wild card spot. So that's certainly within reach, but if they get swept by Cleveland, you're 9 games back of the division. You're probably a game 1-2 more, at worst case, 3 games back further from the wild card, and 40 games to play at that point, which is still enough time to make up ground. Now you got, you know, if you go on a run, which the Royals have done before, but it starts to look a lot more bleak. So they've got to take care of business this weekend. And you know what? I think it's going to be fun. You know, I mean, it kind of has that sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop feeling to it a little bit for me, because things have been going so poorly recently for the Royals. But at the same time, you know, if I take a step back, it'll be a very strong playoff type atmosphere at the K. Everyone's going to be jacked up for this series. It's going to be fun this week, but the Royals definitely need to stay focused and take care of business.
Yeah, they really did an okay job. I wouldn't say good, because they're just, you know, last night's game was just, I didn't even watch it and I was miserable about it. But they salvaged this road trip. I mean, when you consider that they started out, you know, just getting blasted, like it wasn't even like they just lost. I mean, they lost badly to St. Louis. The Cardinals, and of course it's the Cardinals. Cardinals put up double figures in both games in Kauffman, and then they smoked the Royals in St. Louis. You know, I mean, the Royals scored 5 runs and 6 runs in St. Louis, and they lost both games. And those are the lowest run outputs of the series for St. Louis. So, not good. And then they followed that up by losing the first game at Chicago. But they did end up winning 4 of the next 5. You know, so that kind of saves a little bit. It gives them a 500 record on that short road trip. They can come back to Kansas City now. Really, this is the toughest stretch they're going to have the rest of the season. They've got these 3 games against Cleveland, an off day. Then they have 3 against Colorado in Kansas City. Colorado's been good. Then they go to Cleveland for 3 games, and then they host Tampa Bay back in Kansas City. So you've got playoff team, playoff team, playoff team, and playoff team. Really good opportunity for them. If they can manage to actually win each of those series, you know,
we're going to be feeling a lot different if that happens.
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, those are good teams. Tampa kind of, maybe they had their run. Maybe they've got another shot in them. I don't know. Cleveland has played very well. They've won 5 in a row. They're playing Minnesota tonight. Minnesota's played very well lately, too. I'm very much on record saying that I can't believe Minnesota is actually going to be able to do anything. They called in Bartolo Colon to pitch for them. He's been one of their starters, and like that's an upgrade over their next options. He's not good. So I can't believe that Minnesota is going to be able to hold out. Maybe the Royals can't. I don't know. This stretch might be what kind of determines it for them, because after this stretch, they've got a lot of games against Chicago and Detroit. They do have a series against Arizona to finish the year, but you know, who knows how strenuous Arizona is going to be playing at that point. They should have a playoff spot pretty well locked up in the last series of the year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if the Royals can do some damage in these next four series, that might be enough to set them up. If they go 7-5, I mean, that's probably, I think if you go 500, you're okay, because you can probably hold pace with everybody else in the wild card race. You probably don't make up much ground, if any, on Cleveland. If you go 7-5, you can maybe get a leg up, maybe go into September in that wild card spot, that second spot. If you go 8-4, I mean, this is just one game difference. You're probably feeling pretty good because you probably won, you know, four of those games against Cleveland. And, you know, the better the Royals are doing against Cleveland and the better they're doing against their division, the better odds they have to at least give themselves that second shot to maybe, okay, fine. You know, you're really looking at the wild card, but there's still a shot at the division. So, yeah, I mean, these are going to be really big series. And if the Royals go 4-8 or 5-7, you know, they're going to end up being 500 entering September. And it's, you know, it's
going to feel a lot like last season, really.
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit of a disappointing kind of finish. I mean, the way that the wild card is lining up right now, nobody's really played very well. Seattle made a little run and then they fell back. Tampa made a little run and they fell back. Minnesota's made their run. Now they're falling back. The Royals made their run, you know, won those 9 in a row, and then they lost, you know, what did you say, 9 of 11? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it is. I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, the Royals deserve it. They might get it because there's just a lot of mediocrity after, you know, the four best teams right now. So I'll take it. You know, I think every franchise would take it. I can't subscribe to the theory of, well, you're just playing for a coin flip game. I mean, you'll take, you know, whatever. Anything can happen in those games. And if it means that you get some kind of celebration because you clinch a playoff spot, fans will remember that. I mean, for whatever it's worth, you know, you remember the things like, you know, in 2014 with the Royals, yeah, they clinched just a wild card spot, but it was still pretty cool, you know. It was a foregone conclusion in 15 when they clinched the division. That's still mm-hmm. pretty cool. Those kind of moments are really fun. And when you consider that this is the last year, if the Royals can manage to do that and actually clinch a playoff spot, I think you'll deal with it even if they lose the wild card game. So I think there's at least sentimental value to making it. Plus, the upside is you get a chance to maybe you win the playoff game and make a run. So I keep seeing that a lot, you know, as things creep up. You know, the Royals don't play well. Everybody's like, oh, they should have sold. Oh, no, their best chance is maybe they'll get a coin flip game. A lot of teams are out there, you know, really straining and hustling and trying to find whatever they can do just to get into that coin flip game. So maybe it's not as satisfying to fans. Maybe it's a letdown if you lose that wild card game. But I'm pretty sure any team in baseball would take a shot at a coin flip in a wild card game if it means you get a chance to advance. So not worried about that at all. They just got to get there.
Lest we forget, the Royals are only 2 years removed from a world championship. So not many teams in that scenario would, exactly like you said, would sell and kind of pack it in, unless you're the Marlins.
Right.
In which case, it's special case. Off season after you won a title, you would pack it in. But, you know, most teams would try and keep this running as long as they could. Look at what the Tigers did. They made the World Series in 2012, got swept, and they were still and this is the first year, those next 4 years after that, they were still trying to make moves, bringing in free agents, making trades at the deadline, still trying to get back and to win that title. And it wasn't until this year that they finally started waving the white flag and said, okay, we're going to sell off some pieces and we're going to try and rebuild this thing. So it's pretty natural for teams in the Royals position to do essentially what the Royals did, especially when you are where they were near the trade deadline, where they had won 9 straight, I believe, kind of right before the mm-hmm. trade deadline. So they were in a position where it was looking really good, and they were looking like they had a real shot at this thing. And they still do, you know, technically speaking. It looks a little bit
not
as
shakier.
Positive now. But,
yeah.
So completely reasonable for the Royals to play the situation how they did. You know, unfortunately, they're in a bit of a different situation now, and hindsight is always 20/20. But at the time, I think all of us were on board, specifically on this show. I can't speak for all the fans, obviously, but we were definitely on board on this show to do the trades that they did, and they haven't worked out that great, but you can't, you know, we always try and preach process versus results. The process right. of the trades, the thinking behind the trades was sound. It just hasn't worked out so far. Hopefully that's not the case for the rest of the season.
Right. I was happy the day of the trade with the Padres. I can't back that now. I can't, I can't walk away from that. So, those players have not been very good, but I was happy the day of because it looked promising. The Melky Cabrera trade has been great.
Absolutely.
So he's been a big help in the lineup and just giving the Royals the ability to, you know, put out different lineups and have some flexibility and give guys days off. So that trade has been great. The trade with the Padres has been not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob. Yes.
Not great, but, so – and I think there was a certain point where you knew the Royals weren't selling anyway, so – it didn't really matter one way or another. So, I guess there's a chance they might completely fall out of it and you can sneak someone through waivers, but I really, really doubt it. I think the Royals are going to just ride it out no matter what. And, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, they don't make the playoffs. And if they do, then you get one more shot. But no matter what, you're going to end up finishing the year with the team that basically – shoot, I mean, we've been covering them their entire – well, not all of them, but the key guys for pretty much their entire big league careers. You know, you look at Eric Hosmer debuted 2 months after this podcast did.
Yep, so, I mean, there.
It was pretty
cool. I wasn't even on the show at that time.
It was close. It was shortly after, but yeah. It was
Yeah,
but I mean, that's how long these guys have been around, and there's, you know – I've made my peace with the fact that maybe the Royals end up with nothing out of this. I've made my arguments that selling was going to be silly.
It's not nothing. It's just nothing this season because we still got that world title. I still got my T-shirt.
It's true.
Still got my flag. I got the whole deal, and I got the memories. So
yep. So
we still got that going for us. But, here's a question. Here's a question for you.
Okay.
So if we're looking ahead, we got 43 games left this season. So if we're to try and break it down, what's the number in the win column that you think it takes to get to the wild card spot this season? I'm going to look back really quick. I want to say last year it was 86 wins for the wild card spot in the American League.
I don't recall. 89, actually. It was Baltimore and Toronto both won 89.
Because the year before, because I think
the year before
Astros had 86.
Yep, that's right.
For sure. So 2015, when the Royals played the Astros that year, Astros had 86 wins. It was 89 last year. So it's likely going to be somewhere in between there, right?
Maybe, but I think right now the caliber of teams that are going for one of those wild cards, I would say 85 is probably going to be it, but I think there's a chance that 84 would do it.
Let's call it 85, right in the middle there.
Yeah.
So 85, the Royals right now are 61-59. So they have to go 24-19 the rest of the way.
It'd be 18.
18, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, you're right. Wait. 61-59. So that's
120.
There's 42 games left. I'm sorry. I said 43. 42. You're right. So 24-18, 6 games over 500 is what they have to go. So, I mean, if you really look at it, like we talked about, okay, if they go 8-4 in the next 12, if they go 4-8, how much that changes things. So, I mean, realistically, you look, where are they picking up these games? Right, so they've got to pick up essentially 6 games. You know, you look, so Cleveland, Colorado, Cleveland, Tampa Bay. We talked about those the next 4 series, all playoff caliber teams. You know, and you can do yourself big favors by taking care of business against Cleveland towards the division, and Tampa Bay to kind of push Tampa Bay further out of the wild card spot as another as some competition. Minnesota right after Tampa Bay, you can do some more favors for yourself by beating Minnesota and putting them further out of competition for that wild card spot. So you've kind of got some destiny in your hands there. But, you know, looking at the schedule, where do you think they realistically pick up these games? You know, like they've got a series against Detroit right after Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a series against Chicago about a week after that. They've got a series against Toronto left and Chicago as well, and then another series against Detroit.
Yeah.
So those are going to be your big ones there in terms of just because those teams are so bad. Sounds bad, but that's true. Those are the teams that you can pick up some games, you know. So let's see. They got three games against Detroit, three against Toronto makes six, three against Chicago makes nine, three more against Detroit makes 12. So those 12 games out of the next 42, you'd almost say that you'd have to go at least 8-4 out of those games.
Yeah.
Probably want to win nine. But let's say they go 8-4 in those 12 games. So the other 30 games, they have to go 16-14. So they got to pick up two games between Cleveland, Colorado, Cleveland, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Cleveland, and Arizona. And one game in there against New York,
right,
the Yankees. So, you know, and you think, okay, well, they've got to win against Cleveland because it's a division team. So if they can pick up one game in the next 10 out of Cleveland, so they win, you know, I guess it's not really possible to pick up only one game out of 10 total.
Yeah.
But you go, you go 6-4 against Cleveland out of those 10 games. Maybe you pick up a game against Tampa Bay. So, you know, it's just kind of, we don't have to do the whole exercise of literally going through and thinking, but that's
right,
just kind of how the game needs to be played now. I mean, option one is the easiest. We talked about this in 2013 when they were battling for it. We talked about it last year when they were battling for the playoffs. Take care of business against the teams that can do it. And in 2013, it felt a little powerless because we talked about this a few shows ago, where as we were getting towards that end of the season, probably about this time in the season, all the teams in front of the Royals, they didn't have any games with them left. So it was really tough to try and overtake them because you couldn't do yourself any favors. You just had to hope that they screwed up. So,
and a lot of times you had like Cleveland against Tampa Bay when they were both ahead of the Royals. And it's just
right,
like, well,
absolutely,
inevitably one of them will win and you don't really gain, you might gain ground on one, but not the other.
Yeah, and so they don't have any games left against the Angels, which sucks because the Angels are ahead of them. But they've got games against Minnesota left. Let's see, six games against Minnesota left, and they're tied. Or at least as of today, they were. I think they're a half game ahead of Minnesota now. So,
yep,
in terms of the wild card race,
Minnesota,
so they can push
against Cleveland. So
yep,
it's the same kind of thing. It's like, who do you want to win that? I don't know.
Exactly. So you can put, they can push Minnesota further away themselves, so they can control their own destiny from that manner. Tampa Bay, they're, I think Tampa Bay is actually the next team after closest to the Royals. Yes, so tied with Seattle. So they can push Tampa Bay further out of the race with the one series they have left. So, you know, with the exception of the Angels, they've still got that they've still got a little bit of their own destiny that they kind of control. And, you know, I mean, they're three games behind the Yankees for the first wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got one game left against the Yankees, you know, that random game, which actually could end up being huge. If the Royals put together a run and the Yankees slip a little bit, then, oh no, all of a sudden with 1 week left in the season, the Royals have to play this makeup game against New York. Granted, it's in New York, which sucks, but at the same time, you know, that's a chance. Maybe by September 25th, when that game is scheduled, maybe one game is all that separates the two. Maybe the Yankees have fallen into the second wild card spot or something. So there's a little bit more control over the Royals' destiny they have this year than in years past, which is nice. but it's also can be kind of bad because, like, I think 2013, what was so, I think, kind of maybe energized them going into 14 is their ability to say, you know what, we made that run there at the end, we did absolutely everything we could, and things just didn't break our way, next year is going to be different. We've got this momentum. Let's keep it going, you know. And obviously next year is kind of out the window at this point for a lot of the people on the current team.
Right.
But, you know, it's a little bit more demoralizing as you're going through this stretch if you get swept by Cleveland this weekend and you lose 2 out of 3 to Minnesota and you lose 2 out of 3 to Tampa Bay, then you're just looking like, oh, man, these are the teams we needed to beat. Now we're not going to play them as much anymore. We have fewer opportunities. It starts to get in your head. It starts to kind of haunt you, if you will. So there's a good and the bad. There's kind of a a balance there. But it's
I was going to say, they're at that point now where every game they lose, they have to make up almost 2 of them, it seems like, just because, you know, they're running out of time. And it's the same for all of these teams that are trying for this wild card spot, especially when it's so close, where you've still got, I mean, I'm kind of overlooking teams like, you know, even Baltimore, Texas, or Toronto. But, I mean, if they did go on a run, they would kind of be back in it. I mean, a 4 or 5 game winning streak could put them right back in view. Right now, they're kind of falling down and not really someone that you're worried about, but they're still in there. And so if you do lose a game, it's something you kind of have to think that you have to make it up somehow. And there are fewer and fewer games to do that in. And so, you know, just to go back to your point, when you do get those head-to-head games, it's extremely important to win them and do yourself the favor of winning them. Because the other teams are in the same spot. If the Royals beat the Rays 2 out of 3, that's going to haunt the Rays because that's going to put them in a position where now the Royals are done. You know, they're not playing the Royals anymore. How do you catch them? Well, you got to hope that other teams beat them. And when you're hoping that the Tigers and White Sox are going to beat the Royals, which, I mean, they have, but they're not.
That's beside
very,
the point.
Yeah, they're not very good teams. You know, it's basically if the Royals win each, I mean, winning each series is probably asking a bit much. But to your earlier example of if they go 8-4 in that one in the stretch of games against what the Chicago and Detroit, you know, if you're going 16-14 the rest of the way, that's entirely doable. Even against good teams. I mean, you're asking them to basically take a .500 record of 15-15 and flip one of those games from a loss to a win. And that's it. And that you get the 85 wins. And that has a good chance to be enough to make a playoff spot this year. So it's well within sight. It's very possible. That being said, it's not easy. So it's going to be interesting over the next 2 weeks to see what the Royals do. It's going to be interesting where they're at in 2 weeks and how that plays into September. So and it's time to buckle up.
Absolutely. And something of note, too, when you look at Cleveland, so over their next stretch of games, so the Royals have a day off and then they have the series against Cleveland. Well, Cleveland's got 2 games against Minnesota in Minnesota still. To play tonight and tomorrow, and then they come into Kansas City to play the Royals this weekend, and then they have a 4-game series against Boston, who's a first-place team right now, and then they go, and it's in Cleveland, but then they play Kansas City again. So we talk about the Royals having their kind of playoff teams. Well, arguably, Cleveland has a tougher stretch in their next immediate future. And then right after that Royals series, then they travel to New York to play the Yankees, who are, you know, in the wild. So that's kind of back to that. If the Royals take care of business against Cleveland over the next 6 games they have with them, then it's kind of really torn depending on where they sit in relation to the Yankees for the wild card. Do they want Cleveland to beat the Yankees? Do they want the Yankees to beat Cleveland? You know, that's back to exactly what you were saying where, okay, one of the other is going to hurt them. So say they went 2-4 against Cleveland, which would put the division out of reach. But depending on what they did in the other games in between, you know, maybe they're still in the hunt for the wild card. Then it makes your decision easy if you're pretty much out of it for the division. But point being, Cleveland's got a little little meat left on that bone, if you will. So they're not even though they've been starting to slowly just kind of pull away, they've got a tough stretch here coming up. And then after that stretch there, it eases up quite a bit. There's a couple series left for Cleveland between the Angels and the Mariners and the Twins. So in terms of fighting for that wild card spot, it's gonna be quite interesting to see where the Royals are relative to Cleveland, because if they're close enough for the division, then you might say, okay, we'll sacrifice letting the Mariners win if they can take Cleveland down. But I mean, as you said, it's strap in. It's gonna be fun. These next 42 games, it's gonna be a lot of scoreboard watching, a lot of intense baseball. And you know, we just gotta hope the Royals overcome whatever has put them in their funk the last, I don't know, 3 weeks or so, and specifically the pitching. And we can kind of jump into that now. The pitching that started off so great this season. Jason Vargas possibly starting the All-Star game. Danny Duffy was off to a great start before he got injured. Nate Carnes was doing pretty well and before he got injured. And they've kind of had to patch things together. And Jason Hamill's given you some good starts. But, man, the last few starts, tell them what we were talking about, because you looked up some of the stats in terms of runs given up by the pitching staff. Why don't you drop some of those on the listeners here?
I mean, this does not count today's game in which they gave up 6 runs. But just in the month of August, the Royals, looking at ERA, and ERA in a 15-day sample, okay, maybe that's crazy, but just as an illustration, an anecdote, if you will, of how the Royals have done this month from a pitching standpoint, the Royals have allowed 96 runs, not counting today. So if you count today, 102 runs. Wow. Not too great. In fact, the ERA by individual pitchers, there are only 3 pitchers who have an ERA below 4.5 for the entire month of August to this point. And 2 of them have only thrown 3 innings. Again, you know, I would say, okay, so the 3 pitchers are Jake Junis, who's given the Royals 2 good starts. Kevin McCarthy, who just kind of came up to fill in for a little bit, and Kelvin Herrera, who's hardly gotten to pitch because the Royals didn't win a lot of games. You know, they didn't have a lot of leads to protect, so he hasn't had the opportunity to pitch much. He did throw a scoreless inning today, so that would be a 4th inning this month for him. But other than that, I mean, Jason Hamill has a 4.67 ERA, and everybody else is 5 or above, including 6.89 from Jason Vargas, 7.16 from Ian Kennedy. Trevor Cahill went on the disabled list. He's got a 6.43 ERA. I'm not entirely sure he'll pitch again this year. I mean, he was not effective, and if he's hurt, he's been hurt earlier in the season. You might not see him again, especially if Junis continues to pitch well. And then once September hits, you can expand rosters, and a guy like Cahill's not, you know, if he's not pitching well, he's not as necessary. But guys like Brandon Maurer, he's been hammered. Joaquin Soria was rocked yesterday. It was super disappointing. Mike Minor has been really bad in the second half, but like a 1.89 ERA in the first half, and it's about 6.9 in the second. So he's been either tiring or regressing, or, you know, guys are getting the book on him. But it's all across the board. Duffy, 6.0 ERA. Scott Alexander, 5.63. Peter Moylan, 8.31. I mean, just they all suddenly stopped being able to pitch. And it went through a stretch where they blew a bunch of leads. And on this road trip, I believe it was like 5 games where the Royals had a 3-0 lead at some point early in the game. And blew it in all but one of those. And they still gave up the lead in that game. They just happened to come back and retake the lead and win that game. So it's been rough. And the Royals are, while, yes, they are hitting more home runs and the offense has at times been more consistent, it's not a team that can just go out and bludgeon other teams and outscore them, you know, at will. It's they've got to have some level of good defense, some level of at least okay starting pitching, and a good bullpen, and none of that has come together. The Royals finally have started playing better defense, but on that road trip, they were really – Cardinals series in particular, a lot of mistakes, a lot of walks, just nothing was going right, and pretty much at the absolute worst time. So, you know, now maybe after playing Chicago, playing Oakland, maybe getting away with a win today, that's a could be a sigh of relief that they can take into a homestand. Maybe they're, you know, starting to press a little bit. I don't know. But the pitching has definitely not been very good. An off day is very welcome for them. The Royals are going to end up skipping. Jake Junis would be set to start one of the games against Cleveland. They're going to skip him and start a veteran. So, you know, I had a theory that, oh, well, Jake Junis has pitched well against bad teams. I looked at it kind of by his game log. He's been about the same. A little bit worse against teams you would consider quote-unquote good. A little better against teams you would say are bad. You know, so it's not like a sharp split for him. But that's kind of what they're doing. They're gonna try to get their veterans against Cleveland. They're going to let Junis pitch against Colorado. And, you know, then you kind of see. So if the pitching can maybe right the ship and start throwing better now over these next 2 weeks, that would go a long way to helping the Royals out and getting to that 85 wins or whatever we think they need to get to. So it's been really bad. I mean, Royals gave up 23 home runs in 15 days. So it's just pretty rough altogether.
Yeah, and Jason Vargas is doing his best to try and prove me wrong. If you'll remember from our mid-season show, we kind of went over some of the bold predictions that we had made at the beginning of the season, and my bold prediction was that Jason Vargas would have an ERA under 4, and at the time it was under 3. It was 2.6 or so, and now he's bumped himself up to 3.45. He's been having a really bad run of it. I still don't know what he has to do to get his ERA above 4 and make me look silly, but he's doing his best to make it happen. So Hopefully he can snap out of it and find that early season form that he had. And, you know, similarly, Danny Duffy, you know, who's from a numbers standpoint, his numbers still look, you know, okay to decent. But, I mean, based on the contract he signed this offseason, that's not what you were expecting or what anybody was expecting from Duffy. It was, you know, hoping that he would kind of take what his successes from last year and take that next step into being an elite pitcher. And he just looks like he's kind of the same pitcher as last year. And maybe he's even regressed about a half a step or so. So, you know, part of that is likely due to the injury and that he had and, you know, having to take time off in the season and then have to come back from it and rehab and all that kind of stuff. But that excuse only takes you so far. At some point, you know, he's got to put it together. And, you know, today he had 8 strikeouts today, you know, had some decent stuff, but gave up 4 runs in 5 innings, you know, like what.
Yep. And he threw out like 101 pitches too in those innings. So a high pitch count. So
what? Yeah. In 5 innings, that's 2012 Danny Duffy, not 2016 Danny Duffy. So, you know, hopefully Vargas, Duffy can get back on track. Kennedy, I mean, all the guys obviously need to get back on track, but, you know, those are two that were really carrying you early in the season for the Royals. And if they can get back on track, then things are going to look a lot better. And you talked about Jake Junis, who's been kind of a bit of a slight lift to the pitching staff because he's thrown some really good games when they really needed a pitcher to come in and throw some good games. So, you know, that's good for him. That's pretty been impressed with him. I think he's, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, Clint was always, I don't want to say like super high on him, but always thought that he had a future as a major league pitcher, and he's proven it. You know, I don't know how bright the future is or whatever, but I think, you know, he's a guy that the Royals can, especially, you know, next year moving forward, they can kind of pencil in tentatively as a guy that they can probably depend on to give you a decent run for the next few years here. So that's encouraging to see. But, you know, as far as the help this year, kind of remains to be seen. He's done probably more than most would have expected, so hopefully he can, you know, give us a few more surprises himself. But with that semi-depressing topic. We'll move on to our final topic of the evening, which is the moment you've all been waiting for, of course. The Moose Balboni Homer Demon update, folks.
I've got to cut all of those out and put them into one file or something.
Yes.
All the Jeff trumpets.
Hashtag it's happening, folks. Mike Moustakas hit a home run last night in the eighth inning against the Oakland A's, and he is now at 35 home runs. I retweeted a tweet from Rutson Dodd during the game where he mentioned, which is obvious, of course, but 35 home runs for Mike Moustakas, second most in Royals history. Mm-hmm. So here we are, folks. He's one home run away from the holy grail of Midwestern Royals home run records. And there's a good possibility that it happens this weekend when the Royals are in town. Six games they've got coming up in town here with Cleveland and Colorado. So there's a very good chance he ties it while they're in town. And there's a pretty good chance, the way he's been going, that he actually breaks it at home against either Cleveland or Colorado. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, folks, I hope all the local stations cut into whatever programming is running and show this. They did it for Hank Aaron. Why not Moose? This is something that needs to happen. This is pivotal. It's a pivotal moment in Kansas City Royals franchise history. And we are all witnesses. Hashtag we are all witnesses. This, in the next 7 days, folks, you could be seeing it. You never thought you would. You never thought you'd see another World Series. Or if you're like me and you were born in 85, you never thought you'd see a World Series. You never thought you'd see it. Somebody break that Balboni record, but the Balboni Homer Demon is shrinking in size as he cowers in fear as Mike Moustakas rolls into town with his bat ready and cocked in position to just explode past Steve Balboni's record and then possibly set his sights on putting the Royals out of the cellar for the lowest home run total ever. As we've talked about before, he needs 7 more now, and the Royals get to 42 home runs for their team record, which puts them above the Mets, folks. This 42 games, so that's one home run every 6 games. So he would, within the next 6, if he was keeping that pace, within the next 6 games this week, this coming week in Kansas City, Moose would tie the record. Mm-hmm. And then surpass it, obviously, later, and then eventually get to 40. I mean, I think I'm obviously very confident that he's going to pass Balboni. I am almost equally as confident that he's going to get to 40. I don't know about the 42. That's where I'll start to be like the 50-50 thing, if he gets to 42 or not. But 40 would be enough for me. I mean, I'm not going to be unhappy with that. I would just love to get that little extra bit to really push it. But man, this, folks, this show is going to be nuts next week if Moose breaks this record. Let me tell you something. It's going to be intense. I mean, are you feeling it? Are you feeling it with me, Mike? Are you here with me on this?
I am. Metaphorically speaking? I realize now when you talk about the World Series and stuff in a lifetime, that's why you're so much more fired up about this record. This record has stood your entire life.
Absolutely.
So I get it. I get it now. Yeah, I'm pretty happy, though. I mean, we knew around the All-Star break there was a really good chance at it. And then he came out of the All-Star break and didn't really hit very well at first. And then, you know, he's done this before where he just hits a bunch of homers in a stretch. So like a 10-game stretch, he'll hit like 5. He's got 5 homers in August, you know, and we're halfway through the month. So he's got a really good shot this weekend to do it. He's got three games with more than one home run. So you're at any point. Today's game, well, not today's, but Friday's game, you can wake up and say today might be the day that Mike Moustakas breaks the Balboni record. And if he doesn't, You can say the same thing on Saturday, and you can do that until the end of the season because he's got a shot every day on that particular day to break it. He just takes two home runs, and it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, for a while there, the last time the Royals were this close was 95 when Gary Gaetti hit 35 in a strike-shortened season. You know, he definitely would have gotten it, but the players got one
strike.
Yeah, they got, there was one fewer month in that season, so they didn't start playing until May. Had he gotten a chance, yeah, he would have easily hit two more home runs. I mean, he was crazy. So at that point, though, the record was only 10 years old. So it wasn't really that big of a deal. And even a couple of years later, Dean Palmer hit 34. Still not that big of a deal. Then you got into the dead zone.
Sorry, but that was before 98 with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, too, before mm-hmm. – I mean, Maris's record had stood for 30 years at that point.
Yeah,
and so, like, all these home – it wasn't like home run records are being broken every year like they are now, just to add some context.
They were about to.
Yeah, on the cusp.
They just weren't quite there. They weren't in the Tony Batista hitting 45 homers 2 years in a row stage of baseball
Brady
history.
Brady Anderson hitting 50 home runs.
Right. Fernando Vina hitting 30. It's like, okay, come on. Share some of that stuff down in Kansas City.
Yes,
we
please.
We could use it. But yeah, I mean, then after that, you kind of hit a dead zone where nobody was really close to 30, much less getting close to Balboni. And then it's only now that, you know, Moose has already shattered his personal record. You know, it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, and it's really cool that it's Moose, who is homegrown, you know, raised royal, as they say, you know, to give them the opportunity to finally break a record that is gone too long. I do hope they have some kind of recording from Balboni. It doesn't sound like there's anything like that, but there's a recent article by Pete Grathoff at the Star where he talked to Balboni, and Balboni was like, I don't really pay much attention because he's, you know, he's got his job.
Lying. He's lying. Like, that's like the only thing Balboni's known for. If Balboni did not hit 36 home runs in 1985, who would remember him? I mean, no offense to the guy, but like, honestly, yeah, he made himself a solid career. But if he doesn't have the Royals home run record, what does he have? He's just Rex Hudler, you know? Nothing wrong with that. He's probably better than Rex Hudler, but nothing wrong with being just, you know, an average major league player and making money and, you know, having a career. But don't tell me you don't pay any attention to it, Steve Balboni. I'm not buying that for a second.
He's got a votive candle set up, and every day he lights it. He probably gets some, I don't know, some powdered moose antlers or something that he's putting in there, and
yeah,
made out of chance,
like a voodoo doll of moose antlers. It's like all those, the 72 Dolphin team, right? You know, they're all like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. We don't really care. But every year,
Mercury Morris.
Yeah. But they also, like the rest of them too, they would like have little cheers parties where they would, you know, cheers each other with champagne when the last undefeated team would lose and all that crap. You know, they got made fun of for doing that type of stuff. So people can say all they want, they don't care, but why wouldn't you care? I would care, you know?
Yeah, I would like my record to stand, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, if it's like, it's probably, I mean, again, no offense, but it's probably the only record he has, so...
At
the professional level.
Yeah, that's probably true, yeah. I would say so. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm sure they have something like that. I can't imagine they would go through all of this and not have some kind of fun nod. You know,
the
Royals
are
kind of stuffy and stodgy sometimes, but I think sometimes they kind of get there's a little self-deprecating humor in that, but also kind of a nice moment where you can actually theoretically pass the torch of home run record holding at just a brief moment, you know, something like that. So who knows? Well, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think Moose is definitely going to break the record, barring some catastrophic sudden injury or something. But otherwise, yeah, two homers. That's it.
That's
like,
all.
Like,
takes.
Can't believe we're actually here.
I know. It seems cool. So far, and then he hit 30. It's like, oh, it's getting close. And then it really just kind of hit me last night. 35, like, oh my God, it's here, folks. Well, here.
I wasn't ready for
it. 42 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's a lot of games. Like,
I guess
not
I
really like
the
mad.
That...
I thought it would be something that would go to, like, the end of the season, like the last weekend.
Yes.
Because why wouldn't it? The Royals have not gotten close. Now they're so close that they're basically there. It's. Okay, that's pretty cool, but it's also kind of like, oh, it kind of takes some of the drama out of it when really it's, you know, the longest he's gone without a homer is 9 games. I mean, he'd have to extend that by 5 times to not at least catch him. So, I mean, it's just a matter of time. But still, it's going to be cool. Even if the real drama is out of it, the moment itself should be pretty cool. It's kind of like, you know, hey, brought up the 2015 division title. That was still pretty cool, even though it was pretty obvious the Royals were going to get it. So, you know, I guess take the moments when you can get them. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. So, yeah, on that, we'll leave with that positive thoughts, positive thinking. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge, folks. I don't know. I'm jacked. I'm excited. These next 42 games are going to be nice. It's going to be intense. It's going to be we're going to see one record broken. It's going to be awesome. So we'll leave you there.
what are you typing?
Oh, nothing. So I was doing something else. Sorry,
Steve Balboni revenge bouquet.
It's my poem to Mike Moustakas.
Dear Steve Balboni,
suck it. Here's some flowers here's a box of Kleenexes to dry your tears. I have nothing against Steve Balboni.
No, I don't either. I mean,
damn that record.
Royals don't win the World Series in '85 without him. So.
Absolutely, yeah. He's definitely a big piece of that team. So just like the Royals wouldn't make the playoffs. If they do make the playoffs this year, it wouldn't be without Moose. So, but anyway, we'll leave you there this evening. Hopefully, we have some really good stuff to talk about. The Royals will be done with one Cleveland series when we record next week, and in the midst of another. So, they'll be playing.
They'll still be playing Colorado.
Yep, they'll be playing. So they'll be gearing up for the second Cleveland series by the time we record. So, you know, it's getting to that point now. Every week we're going to have a better. Better idea of where the Royals stand. So with that, we'll leave you. Be sure to tune in next week. Until then, be sure to visit our sponsors, Kelly's Westport Inn. If you want to have a good time in Westport, go visit them. Always have a fantastic time there. Tell them the Baseball Vault sent you. And Kansas City Baseball Vault, of course. Or not Kansas City Baseball Vault. That's the podcast,
that's
obviously.
That's us.
yeah, bpkansascity.com. My apologies. Always churning out good stuff on there. All our writers work hard. And we mentioned the new writer we had last week. So, you know, we've got a – got a full crew working hard to put out good Royals content for you. Be sure to visit the site. Baseball Prospectus is a great organization, does a lot for us. So return the favor. And, until next week, thank you guys so much for listening. We definitely couldn't do it without you. We love you all so much. Stick with us here for this fun ride. These last 42 games, it's going to be a good time. Until next week, thank you so much for stopping by. And as always, go Royals.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com.
Hey, Troy, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to grab a beer somewhere. What do you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
Oh, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows, and you drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816.
Yep.
All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? No, they've got all the basketball and bowl game. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week.